You know, this morning I talked about sufferings and glory. Tonight I want to talk about guarantees of glory. God's people are guaranteed glory. And the apostle, you know, he talked about us being heirs of God, joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden he says, but if we suffer with him, we shall also be glorified together with him. And so for those who are suffering with Christ and suffering by the will of Christ, by the will of God, it's certain glory is going to come for those that are united to him by faith. It's certain it's going to happen. Not only is it given to you on the behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ to believe the gospel, but also to suffer for his sake. And if we share in his sufferings, we shall also share in his consolation. And what he's teaching us here in from verse 17 down to about the end of the chapter is that suffering is inevitable. But just as suffering is inevitable, glory is inevitable. And he used glory, he used the glory that's, or the suffering of creation, and that even creation itself is going to be made new. It's going to enter into glory. And Brad read the Revelation 21 about a new heaven and a new earth. 2 Peter talks about a new heaven and a new earth. Isaiah 65 talks about a new heaven and a new earth. Isaiah 66 talks about a new heaven and a new earth. That's because this earth here that's groaning right now under its creation, made subject under the curse, just as we are by the will of God. And so even the creation's going to enter into glory at the end of its suffering when we do. And then the believer's attitude toward this suffering is that we have a hope. A hope. We're saved in hope. Hope is such essential. It's so essential. So essential. But he's still dealing with suffering here in Romans chapter 8. Now let's start reading at verse 26 and go down through verse 30 and then come back and make some comments on it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself or itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now he's still dealing here with suffering and the certainty of the glory that's going to follow. And in the verses that I've read tonight, we'll see how that we're guaranteed glory. The things that guarantees us entering into the glory that's prepared for us before the foundation of the world. He said God had a kingdom prepared for us from the foundation of the world. Before the world ever was, God already had a kingdom for us. And that's why he said, fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock. It's my Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And we know that we're guaranteed glory by way the Holy Spirit does for us. Look what it says here in verse 26. We have this sufferings, these groanings, this agony of heart and soul. So likewise the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. See, the Holy Spirit does for us what we cannot do for ourselves and what we don't know what to do for ourselves. We're sons of God. We're heirs. God has sent the Spirit into our hearts and we cry, Abba, Father. He's given us the first fruits of the Spirit. And that means that there will be a complete harvest later. He just gives the first fruits of the Spirit. The Spirit gave us a foretaste of the glory that's to come. You see, by His own will begat He us with the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits. Everything's after its own kind. And when God regenerates us and calls us, we're first fruits after His kind. And what Christ entered into His glory, He gives us a foretaste of that here. And so the Holy Spirit comes and works that in us. And then it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. You see, likewise, not only does our hope of future glory by His Word lead us to patiently wait for deliverance and the resurrection, but the Holy Spirit also bears us up in our weakness. It bears us up in our suffering. Without His power, without His presence, we would even lose not only heart, but we'd even lose hope. Now, I don't know about you, but there have been a few times in my Christian experience, my life as a believer, I've lost heart. When you lose heart in anything, when you just don't, your heart's not in it, that's a bad way to be. When you just lose interest to the place that your heart can't be in, and you just figure, well, ain't no use. Well, see, that's what He's saying here. Without the Holy Spirit, likewise, while we're going through this suffering, while we're going through this groaning, while we're partaking of the sufferings of Christ, without His power, without the Holy Spirit's power and presence, not only would we lose heart, but we'd also lose hope in the midst of our suffering. So even when we lose heart, we never lose hope. The Holy Spirit won't let us lose hope. We trust that He'll bring the heart back. He'll bring the desire back. He'll bring the will back. He'll bring all the things that made us want to get out of bed and want to get on with life and want to labor in the kingdom of God again. And then it says here, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth. Helpeth. This word helpeth here means assistance against all opposition. And oh my, what opposition's against us. Oh, the things that we're even opposed to ourselves. The worst enemy in the castle is ourselves.
Amen.
We got a traitor in the castle. And if the Holy Spirit did not help us, we'd let down the gate and all the enemies would come in and overcome us. But He helpeth us, assistance against all oppositions, all the oppositions of unbelief, all the opposition of the weakness of the flesh, all the opposition of our imaginations, all the oppositions of our weakness and infirmities, against all the oppositions of the enemy, against all the oppositions of false accusations. He helpeth us against all our oppositions. And what's what He says here? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We don't know what to pray for. We don't. I've had people call and ask for prayer and said, I don't know how we ought to pray for them. But we don't know what prayer to offer. What things are we to ask for? What the will of God is. We don't know what prayer to offer. We don't know what things to ask for. We don't know what the will of God is. We're so weak in prayer, we become perplexed, we become helpless, we become weary. We face these things and there doesn't seem to be an answer, no way out, hemmed up. We're helpless and we're weary. How's this ever going to get into this? What's going to happen? So we don't even know what prayer to offer. We don't know what things to ask for. So what does God do in this situation when we're like this? He, the Holy Spirit, helpeth our infirmities, and likewise He makes intercession for us.
Amen.
Who is He that makes intercession for? He that searches the heart knows what the mind of God is. Who is He that searches the heart? God's the one that searches the heart. No man knows the heart of another. In fact, we don't even fully know our own hearts. But God knows our motives. God knows our thoughts. God knows our intentions. God knows our weaknesses. God knows our inabilities. God knows our intentions. Simon Peter, the night our Lord Jesus was betrayed, his intention was to go to prison with Christ if necessary, to die with Christ if necessary. That was his intention. That was his intent. That was his desire. But because of the infirmity, because of his weakness, because he didn't know his own heart, he denied the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. And Christ told him that he would do it. But why did he not fail and fall away, even though he lost heart after that and went back fishing. Why? Because the Spirit knew the mind of God, the will of God, and the purpose of God for him, and prayed for him and interceded for him, and there was groanings that he couldn't even utter. God knows us. And you know, and it says, he who knows, he who searches the mind, he knows the mind of God. Verse 28, he that searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit. He knows the mind. He knows the purpose. He knows the one that's making intercession for us. He knows the mind of God. He knows the purpose of God. He knows the providence of the Spirit of God. And so he's the one, the Scriptures tells us, that makes intercession for us. We don't know what to pray for as we ought. He makes intercession for the believer according to and in perfect harmony. What's this? He makes intercession in verse 27 for the saints according to the will of God.
Yes, sir.
We don't know what it is. We don't know what it is. We'll look at what's going on and we'll say, how in the world we're going to get to, we don't know what the will of God's going to be, but He knows. He knows God's will for us. He knows God's will for our hearts. He knows God's will for our lives. He knows God's will for us from moment to moment. He knows God's will for us when we're suffering. He knows the purpose of God. And so He's the one that makes intercession for us. And then look what it says in the last part of verse 26. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The darkness which is so dark to us, the despair that seems so despairing to us, is no darkness at all to God. No darkness at all. When we see nothing but confusion, disorder, God reads order and sees harmony. And our groanings, our sighs, our utter inabilities and weaknesses and infirmities that cannot be put into words, the Holy Spirit puts them into words according to the will of God for us. And how many days and times or hours have we went when we just sat and groaned? Groaned. We've seen believers do it. We've done it. And we've sat with our hearts broken. Not only for ourselves, but people we love. And we just sat in the dark and said, oh God, we just don't know. And we just sat and we groaned. I heard a dear pastor. Oh, sweet, sweet, sweet man. He'd lay in bed at night and he'd just lay there and groan and groan and sigh till his wife finally told him, she said, would you please stop that? Would you please stop it? You don't realize you're doing it. But he'd lay there all hours of the night and groan and sigh because of the trials that God was putting him through. And his wife would say, honey, you can't hear yourself, but I can hear you. The Holy Spirit makes intercession. We don't know what to say for Him. We don't know how to turn around and give God thanks for such pain. But the Holy Spirit does. We don't know how to see light in all this darkness and end at the end of this tunnel. But God knows where the end is.
Amen.
And He knows the providence that's going to be for us tomorrow. And He's going to take care of it. And there's three groanings here. We've already dealt with two of them today. There was the groaning of creation. The creation itself groaning. There's the groanings of believers. Remember there in verse 23 when it says, you know that not only does the creation groan, but even we ourselves groan within ourselves. And then the Spirit here groans for us too. The Spirit groans for us too. How do you think old Job would have made it? How do you think Joseph would have made it in the dungeon if it hadn't been for the Holy Spirit making intercession for him? How do you think the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the flesh, crucified in weakness but raised in power, when he prayed and said, as he read tonight, I'm a worm. He trusted in God. Let's see God come and save him now. I'm a worm and I'm no man. And had not the Spirit of God interceded for him in the garden and upheld him in his flesh? And all these groanings. So we see by His work in us, the Holy Spirit's work in us, and the Holy Spirit's work for us, that guarantees our future glory. Because when we don't even know how to pray, when we don't know the mind and will of God concerning what's going on in our hearts and lives and cannot find any reason whatsoever for it, He groans for us because He knows the mind of God for us. And then look in verse 28. Here's another reason we've got a guarantee of glory. You know that if we suffer with Him, we shall also be glorified together with Him. Oh my, and it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I can hardly read that without just rejoicing. See, we have the assurance of God's providence, the assurance of God's purpose. You see, here we're guaranteed that we're going to enter into glory and we're going to rejoice with the Lord someday. It's because we know that all things work together. The providence of God is working for our good. We don't know what we ought to pray for. We sometimes can't articulate where we're at. But something we do know, that God's providence is working on our behalf. All things are working together.
Yeah.
Work together for good to them that love God, the call according to His purpose. We do know that. How do we know it? Because God said it. God said it. God said it. And we know it by personal experience. How many times have we experienced God's providence taking us ways that we didn't know was going? And yet when we come through it, we learned that God had been working this out, that He had planned this and purposed it, and that we grew by it, we gained experience by it, and we learned to trust Him more, and we weaned us off of the world more, and He learned more of His Word. John Bunyan said, I learned more and had more fellowship with the Lord in the valley of humiliation than I ever did on the mountainside. It's in the valley of humiliation when God brings us down where we have no one to look to and trust Him, when all reasonings is gone, all flesh is gone, all strength is gone, all ability to go, and everything around us is decayed and gone. And then, and only then, we absolutely look to Him and Him alone. Oh, any trial He sends our way is worth that if it just make us wean us from ourselves and the world. And then we know that by God's dealings with others, you look at all the Old Testament saints. Oh my, all the Old Testament saints. God's, everything God did in their life worked for their good. Abraham. Oh, he had his ups and downs, but it worked pretty good. God left Lot and Sodom. Didn't look like there'd be possibly any good come out of that. Well, his salvation come out of it. God went and drug him out. And that all things are continually working together for good. And look what it says there in that verse that we know. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but we know that all things work together. You see, it's the fact of God's working. That word work means continually working. It's just like it's always working, 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 never stopping, continually, constantly. Life is made up of a multitude of things, a multitude of forces. How much, what do you reckon, just for all of God's people today, just today, over this whole world, all the things it took to make up their life, to get them through a 24-hour period, that God worked and manifested and moved and acted and done things for us that we are absolutely, completely unconscious of.
Amen. Oh, yeah.
Look what it takes, the multitude of things it takes from the day we're born to the day we leave this world. All the multitude of things that happen in our lives. And they're everyone working. They're forces. They're powers. And they're working. What for? For our good. Sometimes things seem to be standing still. It just looks like life has come to an utter and absolute stop. We're stuck in this place. And there's no getting out of it. You know, Brother Milton works in that prison down there 3 or 4 times a week, and he says that everybody comes in there the first 6 months, they all try to commit suicide 2 or 3 times. First time they go to prison, because they can't bear it. Ain't that, what's nothing in here? Don't want to live, don't want to live. And it seems like everything's that I'm stuck in this place. And it looks like sometimes that God puts us in a place. Puts us in a place and there's no getting out. Like things are standing still. But believe me, God is at work.
He is at work.
Nothing's standing still. There's nothing stagnant. Uh-huh. And then look there, this work is comprehensive. This love covers everything. It says all things work. All things work. God, the Father, He works. The Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, He works. The Holy Spirit works. All angels work. All rulers work. All ministers work. All evil beings work. Satan works. Even when Satan was turned loose on Job, that was working together for Job's good. Job received twice at the end of his life than he had before he ever started. And he come in the middle of all that and said, though he slay me, I'm going to trust him. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And he learned this, that I've heard about you, but now I see you, and I'm going to get down here before you, and I've seen 2 things too wonderful for me, and I spoke when I should have shut up, and now I am going to shut up and wait on you, because I know that everything's working together. I abhor myself. I don't have any more confidence in me. I'll never look at my house the same way, my children the same way, my wealth the same way. I'll never look at you the same way. I'll never look at life the same way. Working. Working. Everything. All good events, what we call good events, peace and prosperity and health and happiness, all working together. All what we call bad events. War and famine and sorrow and sickness and death and disease and decay. Not only the big events that happen in our lives, but the minutest detail. Huh? And then look at the harmony of this working. Huh? It says here all things work together. All of them work together. They're not working against one another. They're working together. Together. Huh? It's like Joseph. He 17 years old when his brethren said, we've got to get rid of this boy. He said, he says, we're going to have to bow down to him one of these days. He said, we're going to have to do obeisance to him. That he's going to be a star and we're just going to be like shocks of corn. So they said, we're going to get rid of him. Took and dug a pit. Was going to kill him. That was their intention. But that wasn't God's intention. See, God's working. They're working, but God's working. They put him in a pit, and then all of a sudden they say, well, we can make a little money off of him and get rid of him at the same time. Sold him as a slave. They took him down into Egypt. So went down there and served as a slave. And then he was lied on and abused and mistreated. Then he's put in prison for 7 years. Forgotten while he's down there in prison. He said, that's not... Remember that story Jack Shank told us one time that says, that's good. No, that's bad. Remember him telling us? That's what a lot of people said about Job. Oh, that's bad. That's good. And then one day, and everything in his life, and everything in those men who hated him and despised him and rejected him, just like we did Christ, everything was working and moving and going together. It's just like this great big puzzle. Piece here, piece there. And God would bring it and put it all together. And then one day, the last piece was put in. And guess who took the throne? But every bit of it. He couldn't have got to that throne without the hatred, without the despising, without the rejection, without the pit being dug, without being sold as a slave, without being a slave, without being in prison. He could have never got to that throne. And we can't get from here to there without the pits, without the rejection, without the suffering, without all things got to work. And they work together. Do you see it? They work together. Together. And I'll tell you something else about old Joseph. And I was thinking about this. Joseph says, when you all leave here, because he believed God in the midst of all of that, he believed God. He trusted God. He looked to God and he looked to the promise that God made to Abraham and Isaac.
That's right.
And he said this, when you all leave here, go into the promised land, take me with you. And with all of his sufferings, and with all of it, he said, don't you leave me. And God's not going to leave one of his children, not even their bones, in Egypt. He's going to take them to glory. And they carried him up out of there and took him to Canaan. He said, don't leave me down here. If I ain't nothing but bones left, take my bones with me. And God's going to take us. He's not going to leave us in Egypt. He's going to take us to glory. Ain't that right? And look at the benefits, the blessings of all these. This is what guarantees us glory. God is for us. God is for us. God's working. And look at the... And he says, not only do all things work, all things, and they work together, but look here, they work together for good. For good. Oh, it don't look like it's doing me much good. Oh, it's doing us good. It's doing us good. We don't seem like it. Just like trying to get your children to do things and act certain ways, and they say, this don't seem like that's doing me any good. Why would you want me to do that? That's not going to do me any good. And I don't know why you want me to go eat this, and why you want me to go there, and why you want me to be with these people. Why? Because I know what's best for you. God knows what's best for us, and it works together for good. And this good here means eternal good. Not just good here, but eternally good. It's working for our end. Not necessarily right now our present comfort. See, believers, this is something that believers know that religion don't know. They think God just exists to make people happy, to make them comfortable, and to give them a far escape from hell. But God doesn't exist to give us comfort and ease and joy. Christ came here and suffered to save us. And as he suffered, we're going to suffer. And our ultimate goal, and God's ultimate goal, is to make us like Christ and to be with our Lord forever. And all things are working to accomplish that end.
Amen.
Everything is working to accomplish that end. And then look at, there's a limit to who this blessing is and who the Holy Spirit and God's working for. It's them that love God. He's not doing this for everybody. Only those who love God. I read a wonderful message last week by Lloyd Jones on this very text. For them that love God. There's a people that love God. Back over there in Romans 8 and 7 it says the carnal mind is enmity. There was a time we didn't love Him. And now we love Him. I mean truly love God. Well, how do you know you love God? First of all, we love His Word. We actually love that Word. We love His presence. We want Him among us. We love to talk to Him. We love Him the way He is. We don't want Him changed. We love His holiness. We love His righteousness. We love His nature. We love the way He saves sinners. We love everything about Him. We wouldn't change Him for 10,000 worlds like this. We wouldn't change Him for the salvation of our wives or our children. We love Him. We love Him. He worked in our hearts to love Him. He won our hearts to Himself. And oh my, we love God. Sin and wickedness works wrath. All is against the man who's without Christ. God's law is against him. God's holiness against him. God's character is against him. God's judgment is against him. But for them who love God, and look what it says, who are the called according to His purpose. And that's why we love Him. It was God's purpose for us to love Him. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. You see, it's only for them who love God. Only for those who are called according to His purpose. This is the reason why all things are working together for good. Because we've been called according to God's purpose. Now, what was God's purpose? Look here in verse 29. And this is why we have this guarantee. The Holy Spirit, He helps our infirmities. He's working all things together for our good. And I mean that's eternal good. And then God's purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. To be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. Oh, God's purpose here. God's predestinating, foreknowing purpose guarantees that we shall enter into glory with our Lord Jesus. You see, we were foreknown. These people that love God, these people that He's working together for good for, these people that the Holy Spirit makes intercession, these people that are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, these people that suffer, don't know what to pray for, they were foreknown of God. And you know something? This is when things began to start working for us. God began to work for us before the world ever began.
Amen.
He worked for us for His purpose by giving us a Savior. Providing us a Savior. You see, it was God's intimate love and acquaintance with us before we were, before time even began. He foreknew us. He foreknew everything there was about us and loved us anyway. Gave His Son for us anyway. Called us anyway. Why? Because He foreknew us. I have an intimate acquaintance. They're mine. And then look what else it says. They were predestinated. Not only did He foreknow them, He also did predestinate them. What did He predestinate them for? And wherever you are, I told you this here a while back. Every time you find that word predestinated, right in the very same place, it tells you what your destination is predetermined before. And this predestination that was determined before is to be conformed to the image of His Son. And oh my, that's what we want. That's what we want. One day, that's why how many times we say, we shall see Him as He is, and we shall be what? Like Him. He shall take this vile body and fashion it like unto His glorious body. Oh my. And that's the mark we're pressing for. That's what we're aiming for. We want that starts here too. You know, this being conformed to the image of Christ starts here. Conformed in our mind, we have the mind of Christ. You think anybody that resists the Word of God and don't take all the Word of God has the mind of Christ? We're conformed to the image of Christ as far as the Word's concerned because we take the Word, all of it, not parts that we like and leave out the other parts. And oh, we want to be conformed to His image in grace and love and mercy and kindness and tenderness and compassion and honesty and integrity. Oh, we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Not only did He predestinate them, but down here in verse 30, moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. Everybody He foreknew, everybody He's working together for good, everybody the Holy Spirit intercedes for, everybody whose spirit's grown in here, they were called. Effectually called. Zacchaeus! Come down. Yes, Lord. They went to Mary and said, Mary, the Master calleth for you. She got up and went straight to the Lord Jesus Christ as fast as she could go. You see, this is not an invitation, Zacchaeus. I sure, you know, if you'd come down, I'd come into your heart. Zacchaeus, if you'd come down, I'd do the best I could for you. Me and you could cooperate and make a good man out of you. No, it's not an invitation. It's a call by power. It was a call on purpose. It was a call that was predestinated. As many as were ordained to eternal life, what did they do? They believed. That word ordained means predestinated. Same thing. You see, Zacchaeus didn't become a sheep by hearing the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ and coming out of that tree. He heard the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ because he was already a sheep, and that's why he came out of the tree.
Amen.
We don't become sheep when we hear his voice. We hear his voice because we are his sheep. My sheep hear my voice. He could have just as well said, sheep, Zacchaeus, come down. But he didn't. He just called, Lazarus, sheep, come forth. Oh, my. And oh, that's one way you can tell you're one of God's sheep. Do you hear His voice? Do you hear His voice? Does He speak to you in the Word? Does He speak to you by the Holy Spirit? Do you understand what's being said? Does it bring comfort to you and assurance to you? And a desire to you and a will to you to need Christ and want Christ and desire Christ and want to be saved by Christ and want to submit to Christ and want to learn of Christ. Take your burdens to the Lord. Oh my. And then look, not only were they called, but it says here they were justified. Justified. Oh, this is why we're just as sure to go to glory. Guaranteed it. Their sin has been atoned for. These people that's been foreknown, been predestinated, been called. Their sin has been atoned for. Their iniquity has been imputed and charged to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. And His righteousness and obedience now becomes theirs. In the sight of God, God sees no sin.
Amen.
And their conscience before God comes always with confidence. And not only that, but look what it says. Not only were they justified, but they're also glorified. It started out up there in verse 17, what it says there. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together with Him. That's something in the future. This is the future arrived. He starts out with what's going to be and ends up with what is already accomplished. Whom He foreknew, He predestinated, then He predestinated, He called, then He called, He justified, and then He glorified. You reckon it'll happen? You reckon it'll happen? It'll happen. This is what faith receives. I believe this. I believe this, don't you? This is what faith believes. This is what hope also anticipates. Eternal glory. Oh my. This is what he's talking about. Our eternal good, our eternal inheritance, our eternal glory. Look over here in Romans 4:17. I'll be done in a minute. You see, God calls things which be not as though they were. And he told Abraham, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. He didn't even have a son yet. Didn't even have a child when God told him he's going to make him the father of many nations. And he is an old man. He said, how's this going? Before him, whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead sinners, and calleth those things. Isaac hadn't exist yet, but he's going to. Huh? Joseph hadn't seen the throne yet, but he's going to. Christ hadn't died yet, but he's going to. I hadn't been called yet, but I'm going to be. I ain't been glorified yet, but I will be.
Amen.
God calls the things which be not as though they already were. Huh? Oh my, see, that's why I say our glory is guaranteed. Huh? And oh my, there were two believers. While you look over in Rome, and look in, and excuse me, Psalm 90 with me just a moment. I believe it's Psalm 90 I'm looking for. No, Psalm 91. Look with me in Psalm 91. Let me tell you this little story. There were two believers walking together one day, talking, visiting, the way we do occasionally, just maybe. And one of them said to the other, you know, they was talking about their trials and things that happened. He said, it's terribly, terribly hard to trust God and realize His hand in the dark passages of life. Well, the other said to him, well, brother, if you can't trust a man out of your sight, he's not worth much. And if you can't trust God in the dark, it shows that you don't trust Him at all. And that's true. Everybody builds a place, a refuge when the storm happens. But when the sun comes back out, they tear it down and go about their business. But oh my, we trust Him in the dark. We trust Him over and over and over. And that's why it's called the blessed hope. Look here in Psalm 91. He that dwelleth, this word dwelleth means lives in, abides in. He that dwelleth in me and I in him, that's what our Savior said. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. These secret places, this place that God knows for us and Him alone, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's where we're living. And then they that are there say, I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge. He's my fortress. I need a fortress. I need a fort around me. I've got enemies all the way around me. And they're attacking me all the time. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Land that trap to catch that bird. And he'll deliver you from that noisome pestilence, that thing that makes so much noise it scares you. Now watch this. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth, what He says, shall be your shield. That's what we're going to hold on. It's going to be our shield.
Amen.
And that'll be our buckler. Now it doesn't say there in verse 4 that under His wings we shall see, but under His wings we shall trust. God help us. God help us. May this be our prayer. God help us. God work in us to live in the wonder of His love and His grace and His power and His will and purpose towards us in this life. Life is dark, but love can see. Life is difficult, but love can understand. Life is sad, but love can rejoice while waiting for that day when we won't be looking through a glass darkly anymore, but looking face to face. And Paul said there in Romans 8:31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Our blessed, blessed Savior, our Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word, for the truth. It's true, Lord, that we're weak, that we're flesh, that we're infirm. It's true, dear Lord, that darkness sometimes covers our mind, covers our heart. And it's true, dear Lord, we don't know what to pray for oftentimes. And it's true also, dear Lord, that if we didn't have your word, have what you said, and if you hadn't loved us before the world ever began and called us to yourself and working your purpose out in our lives, we would surely, surely have no hope. But because you do and have and are and will, we have a blessed hope. And thank you for your word. Bless it to our hearts. Bless it to our understandings. And oh God, please save your people in this place. And may your word be a comfort. May it give assurance. May it give peace. May it give strength. May it be food for that soul that truly needs it. We thank you for it. Thank you for the day. In Christ our Lord's name. Amen.